Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a very simple and straightforward way that I could talk to you about that reading. So I will do that for about 1 minute. And then I'll make it all look confusing. The simple and straightforward way to look at that reading from Hebrews chapter 9 is to talk about the idea of Christ as a high priest. Christ as a high priest in the same way that the ancient Jewish temple had a high priest. The idea that Christ's role was to sacrifice himself for us, much as the ancient high priest would give sacrifices every year for the people. You follow me so far? And so in a nutshell then, the traditional way of to look at that reading would be to say, look, Jesus was this high priest just as there was a human high priest. However, because he's perfect and his sacrifice is perfect, now it's all said and done with. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Yada, yada. Close the book. We're done. You follow me? That is the simple, straightforward, most easy way that I can possibly explain Hebrews chapter 9 to you. And I could just leave it there and walk away. I'm not going to for a second. Because when I read it, what I was really struck by, and maybe part of it is because we were going to do the outdoor worship service today, and maybe part of it is because we find ourselves in the chapel here today as opposed to our regular gathering in the sanctuary. But I found myself, as I was reading that, thinking about the first few verses, where it talks about how this first covenant, where there's the tent that was prepared, the outer one, and then the most inner one, the Holy of Holies, and all of these rules about who could go where and when. Did you catch that in the reading? Most of you are nodding. I appreciate that. And I know that some of you who are not nodding, I know have read this enough that you do know it, even though you're not admitting it. So that's good. 2,000 years after the time of Christ, in most of our churches across this country or even across this world, we still act like that. We still have a Holy of Holies. We still have an innermost part of our worshiping space that only a select few are good enough to go to. Do you know what I'm talking about? I could talk about several things with it. In a sanctuary, for example, and to some extent right now, look at me walk freely around this altar, around this table. How many of you do that during worship? None, right? Maybe the folks who help with communion later on. And I get that. For the good order of worship, it makes sense to only have a few people doing those things. But stop and think symbolically for just a moment about what that does to us, what that does to our way of thinking about church, about where God is, about what God is. Without intending to, we routinely tell ourselves that God is in this little box at the altar. But that's where God hangs out. And we come once a week on Sunday and we spend our time in the room and we are aware that God is here because God's up there and God is distant and God is safely contained in that box. And that's good because then we don't have to worry too much about God. And that's one of the things I love about the outdoor service, honestly, is that it's that reminder to us not only that we live in like the most beautiful part of the world, windstorms notwithstanding. But it's also that reminder to us that God is not containable. That God is everywhere. That God is not just hanging out at 17418 8th Avenue Northeast in Shoreline, Washington, zip code 98155, accessible for us for a few hours on a Sunday morning. But that God is outside. that God is inside, that God is available and connectable to us wherever we are and whatever we are doing.
Amen.
Oh, thanks, Jesus. I know we talk about it from time to time, and I promise we're getting close to that time where I won't talk about it as much. But for this congregation, for this community of faith, we have been dealing a lot with the idea of space in the calendar year of 2015. You follow me? We've been talking a lot about what this building means to us and what this space means to us and what it would mean for us to gather elsewhere and in other ways. As we sit in this chapel right now, I hope that you have had a similar experience to the one that I had just as soon as Ben started playing at the beginning of worship. That recognition of what it feels like to be in the right space. The right space for the body of Christ. People, we're packed in here right now. You notice that, right? I understand that for those of you who might have, is it agoraphobia? What's the claustrophobia? That might be horrible. But I gotta tell you, from a worship standpoint, I love how connected we are right now. I love that you don't have the option of putting 5 pews between your neighbor. Because I know, given the choice, you will put 5 pews between you and your neighbor. I love that we are so much more intimate right now in this moment. We can only pull it off because we knew it would be low attendance today for, folks confused about being inside and outside. On a normal Sunday, we're still too big for this room. Trick question. Well, not trick question. Obvious question. There are still Jews in this world today, right? But the holy temple that is talked about in the book of Hebrews has been gone for thousands of years. The destruction of that temple did not destroy that faith. Our faith as a congregation is not tied up in the body of this building. It is tied up in the body of Christ. It is tied up in the body of Christ of us gathered together, wherever and whenever, as Scripture says, where two or more are gathered. Although technically, I think he shows up when there's one, too. I'm just going to say.
So shall I be.
So shall I be. I want to thank you for humoring your pastor yet again. Getting out of your comfort zone, out of your favorite pew. Coming in here, gathering together for worship. And I want you to remember this moment when we go forward. To be mindful as we keep reminding ourselves that God is not done with us. God is not done with Bethel in any way, shape, or form. And that above all, as he routinely reminds us, we are to be not afraid. We know not exactly to what we have been called, but we know that we have been called. And that if we walk faithfully, we will get there. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Most good, gracious, and holy Lord, we thank you for this chance to be together, for this chance to be together in this space specifically. Thank you for a reminder of Bethel's past and its present and its future. Thank you for reminding us of how we are connected to that stream of faith. Please help us this day and always to be aware of how we may better exemplify your love in this world, and that we may find ourselves freed to do unto others as you have called us to do. And that is to walk with grace and mercy and hope and love. We pray this trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.